I think most of us feel as though we're being tossed around a little bit at this particular time in our country's history. And so I was just thinking about some practical thoughts from Scripture that could be of encouragement to all of you. I think for me, some of the things I planned haven't happened. Other things, you know, have changed. So things are sort of contrary to what I thought they were going to be. But I think all of us have had to take a breath and just say, you know, Lord, what do you have for me right now? What can I do during this particular time when all of us are pretty much at home, or, you know, we have the social distancing? And so I thought about some of the storms of life and some of the problems that we face from time to time and things that are contrary to us. And as I began to think about that, I thought about a passage of Scripture where the disciples found themselves in a storm. And so for me, I am always looking for opportunities to look into the Word of God, do some extra research, and try to find some things there that maybe are fresh thoughts or ideas that will be an encouragement to me. So that's exactly how this message came to be. I opened up my Bible and I turned to a particular passage, and it was in Matthew 14. Now, let me quote a part of that passage, and then I'll have you turn in your Bibles if you would like to. Maybe you're at your house or wherever you're listening to this. There is a verse that says in Matthew 14, "The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves and battling a headwind." The disciples are on a boat. They are obviously in the midst of a very serious storm, and they are out in the middle of the sea, and they're being tossed, and they feel that if something doesn't happen soon, the boat is going to go down. It's going to capsize, and they're going to find themselves maybe with their lives in danger. And so they're very fearful. So I thought to myself, what can we find in this particular passage of Scripture which will be of an encouragement to us and give us strength in these days when we feel like our lives are being tossed hither and yon, and we're facing some difficulties and some storms maybe in our lives right now? So if you have your Bible, Matthew 14 is the text. Look, if you will, first of all, at verse 22. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." And I stopped right there. And I said to myself, the disciples are out on the sea in the midst of a storm. They cannot see Jesus, but he is on the mountaintop in prayer. So my first thought is this. During these days, have you forgotten that Jesus is on the mountaintop praying for us? His ministry in saving us at the cross, but then he's going to come someday for us. But what is his ministry to us right now? He is our high priest. He is interceding for us. He's praying for us. And so here are the disciples on the sea, but Jesus is on the mountaintop praying. I know Romans 8 says, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us." He's praying for us. Have you forgotten during these days that Jesus is praying for you if you're his child? He cares about you. I wonder if it'd make a difference. I don't know if your house has an upstairs or not, but we could say even at the far end of the house, if you and your family knew that Jesus was down the hallway in your house in a room and he was praying for you, would it make a difference? You say, well, oh my goodness, if I knew Jesus was down the hall, or if I knew that he was in the upstairs room praying for me, well, I don't think I'd be worried. Well, just remember, distance is not a problem for God. He's in heaven. Maybe not upstairs in your house, but he's in heaven praying for you. So let's all remember that during these days. We have a high priest who intercedes for us, who cares about us. So that's the first thought I got out of this passage. And then I read on. The Bible says that they were in the midst of the sea. The evening had come, and Jesus was alone up on the mountain. The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. They probably are about, best we can guess, maybe 3.5 or 4 miles out into that sea. And they're afraid, and the storm apparently gets worse. But here's what I had to do at this point. I knew that there are in the Gospels parallel passages. In other words, an account is given, but in Matthew, but it's also then given maybe in Mark or Luke. And so just for interest's sake, I thought, I'm going to flip to the other passage and just see if I get any insight. Put your finger here in Matthew 14. Would you turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, to the parallel passage. Mark chapter 6. Starting at verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And that's what Matthew said. Now when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then I noticed this statement that's not in Matthew. Then he saw them straining at rowing because the wind was against them. And I marked in my Bible, he saw them straining and toiling and fighting the storm and trying to keep the boat afloat. He saw them. Not only is he praying for us, but he sat up on that mountaintop and he watched them in the middle of the storm. To me, that's a great thought. They felt separated from him, but Jesus was watching them. He didn't do anything about it at that particular moment, but he was watching. So he's not only praying for us, he's actually watching what's going on in each of our lives. You think he doesn't care? It only feels that way. I picture right now, even as I'm standing here preaching, Jesus is watching me preach his word. Listen to Romans. This is a familiar passage, but this time I want you just to listen to the scriptures as I read it, because I want to give all of us a reminder that Romans chapter 8 gives us. I quote, "For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Not our fears of today, or our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us. That is good for my heart. I will just tell you, nothing separates me from Him. Not if we go through a death in the family. Not if we go through some other problems. He says our fears should not separate us, does not separate us from Him. We may be afraid, but He's still watching. He's still praying. He still cares. All the powers of hell could break loose. And He says, that will not separate me from you and my love for you. So first, Jesus is on the mountaintop praying. Second, He's watching while we are in the storm. Number three, go back to Matthew 14. Here's the next thought that I pulled from the passage. He came when they least expected it. Remember, He seemed far away from them, and He seemed unconcerned. They can't see Him. He's on a mountain somewhere. They visually cannot see Him any more than we can see Him. But He watches, He prays, He waits. In fact, He waits until the ship is far from the land. He waits, and the storm continues. He waits, and they feel like they're going to go down. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night. We don't usually use that terminology in describing the times of day, but the fourth watch of the night is between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. You say, well, that's the middle of the night. He came to them in the middle of the night when it seemed darkest and loneliest. He came to His disciples, but He'd already been watching them and praying for them. And then finally, He waited till the middle of the night, and then He came. You feel like things are kind of dark right now with your family or with your life or with your circumstances? Just remember, Jesus comes to us sometimes in the fourth watch of the night. And then I have a question. Why did He come walking on the water? He would not have had to do that. He came walking on the water. Do you know why? Because it was the water that they were afraid of. The very thing that they were afraid of is the thing that Jesus came walking on it. He used it as His staircase. And they were afraid of the water, that the water was going to kill them. And so He walks on the water to them. Interesting. Some of the things that I fear the most, some of the things that I think are not working out in my life, I mean, I won't go into my personal circumstances, but I will tell you, we all have stuff that we, you know, why? I wish it wasn't this way, or what is going on? And I have to remind myself, Jesus came walking on the very thing that they were afraid of. And God may use a particular circumstance to bring you closer to Him, to minister to you. In these days when our schedules have been changed, do you know God may come to you in a way and minister to you during this time that wouldn't have happened had all these circumstances not happened with the coronavirus? This says they didn't recognize Him. He came walking on the water, and verse 26 says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You'd think they would say, oh, it's Jesus. Thank you for coming. Oh, no. They were troubled. And they cried out for fear. They said, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. Who is that? You say, why in the world did they think He was a ghost? Because they weren't looking for Him. They assumed maybe that somebody else was after them. Oh my. They should have been conscious of the fact that nothing separates them from Him. Little did they know He'd been praying for them. He'd been watching them. He came walking on the sea, and He was coming to minister to them and to save them, but initially they had fear. Warren Wiersbe said, fear and faith cannot live in the same heart, for fear always blinds our eyes to the presence of God. I think that's very true. Sometimes when I get wrapped up and I get real fearful, and sometimes I don't tell people I'm afraid, I notice that I'm not having the faith and trust in God. And I have to take a breath and go to my prayers and say, Lord, I am afraid, but you know what? I'm still Your child. That hasn't changed. You've been watching me. You've been praying for me. I'm going to just trust You to work out my circumstances. So He sees our needs, He knows our fears, and He's in control of our circumstances. He came walking on the water. And then it says in verse 28, and Peter. You say, I know all about this, because that crazy Peter, presumptuous Peter, decides that he wants to come to Jesus. If that's you, let me walk on the water. Before we are so judgmental of Peter, and I think maybe I was that way over the years, as I began to analyze a little bit more of what Peter did and the things that he said from time to time, I realized that Peter had a lot more faith than I gave him credit for. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's what it says. And Peter, verse 28, answering him said, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. And Jesus said, well, come. And don't forget this. Peter walked on water. If I'd ask you that question before we turned this passage today and said, which one of the disciples could do what Jesus did and walk on water? You might have gone, what? Walk on? I don't think any of them can walk on water. I think Jesus did. Give Peter credit. He walked on the water. The other ones didn't even get out of the boat. So I have a question. Who are you? Are you going to trust the Lord enough to be able to walk on your circumstances with the Lord's beckoning? Or are you like a lot of Christians I know? They don't even get out of the boat. I think during these times, this is a great time for all of us to get out of the boat, spiritually speaking. And there may be somebody that you can minister to in a special way that you never would have ministered to if you stayed in the boat. I know there's social contact that's not supposed to be there, but there are some things that we can do, even in small groups. And you might minister to somebody that you'd never ministered to had the circumstances not happened, but you've got to get out of the boat and get with them. Then the scripture says, and Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Stop. Could I give Peter a little bit more credit? He at least got out of the boat. He did walk on water. I know. He started looking at the wind that was causing the storm. But when he began to sink, I like that terminology. When he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord motion for him, obviously stop looking at the wind and look at my hand and come to me. I know some Christians that don't even know they're sinking spiritually. Making choices, their life is getting messed up and they're going down, but they don't even know they're sinking. Is that possible? That's where you are? You're sinking. Because of decisions you're making. Well, get your eyes off of the world and put them back on Jesus, and he'll give you the strength to live a victorious life. Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased immediately. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Jesus and said, Truly, you are the Son of God. Why did you doubt, Peter? You could have kept walking if you'd kept your eyes on me. You wouldn't have been sinking. Why did you doubt? I like that word doubt. You don't have to be a scholar. Distazo. It's made up of two words. Dis, which means double. Stasis is the basic word, means standing. It means a double standing. The person who doubts is a person who stands in two ways. Implying uncertainty as to which way to take. They have a double standing. First, they think they want to be this way. Then they want to be this way. Oh, no, I think I want to be this. Who are you? Are you a Christian? Then you should act like a Christian. You should go to the Bible, not to your friends who may give you poor advice. Go to God's Word to find out what you should do in that particular situation with your circumstances. And obey God, as I have said repeatedly, it is always best to obey God. Always. Don't be double-minded. Don't doubt. Don't stand in two ways. Let's see, well, sometimes I feel like I want to do what's right, and then I want to do... No. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Why did you doubt, Peter? You shouldn't have. You didn't need to. And so the wind ceased, and they worshiped Christ because they realized he had power over the elements, and he could do supernatural things, like walking on water. He obviously is the creator, and he is the God of the universe. I remember what Isaiah 43 says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. The writer said, the songwriter, blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance to my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me. How the billows cease to roll. And Psalm 34 puts it this way. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, because he's on the mountain watching us and praying for us, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and delivers them. The young lions, Psalm 34 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So I just thought these would be some practical, helpful thoughts for all of us in these days of uncertainty. Matthew 14, about the disciples in the storm. Let me pray for you. Lord, as we close this message, even though we're separated by many miles, most of us, we want to thank you that we have a throne of grace to which we may come. We can talk to you because you're on the mountaintop, praying for us and watching us. And you said, when things get dark in the world, you don't need to fret and worry, because I'm coming for you. And Lord, you may be coming for us sooner than most of us realize. We may be on the very threshold of your any moment return. Lord, would you help us as your children just to trust you and to reach out to others and love others and try to meet the needs of others, to get out of the boat, because maybe we can walk on water also if we will keep our eyes on you. And we'll thank you for what you do for us in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.